I had such a great time talking to songwriter, singer, comedian and radio personality Greg Champion the other day that I thought I'd invite him in back with his guitar this time. The man most recognised for his work with the Kootabeen Champions is now living at home in the Adelaide foothills after life in the big smoke in Melbourne. Thanks for coming in, champs.
Oh, it's a pleasure to meet you.
Yeah, good to see you in person.
Great to be here.
How's it all been? You're all settled in? Loving life back in SA?
I escaped Melbourne for the winters. Well, there was no improvement.
I promise it'll get better.
I know it will too. I keep telling people this will pass. Anyway, it is nice to be back in South Australia after 42 years. And it was always a plan for the last 20 years or so.
Mm.
So I'm thrilled to be a South Australian again. I was accidentally born in Victoria because my Adelaide parents were posted to Benalla, Central Victoria. The old man worked for the immigration department and there was a migrant processing camp in Benalla. And so I was accidentally born in Benalla, but I still claim South Australian citizenship.
Right.
So I actually tell people that I'm bisexual about my nationality.
Oh, that's right. How does one get accidentally born somewhere? Did your parents not intend on that happening?
Well, I say that we were just stopped at the servo for 5 minutes. But the truth is, I've made a bit of noise about being South Australian on Victorian radio for 40-odd years. But when people dig a bit deeper, they find out I was born in Victoria too. So I'm having a bit each way.
Fair enough. And you've written you've got 30 records, right?
Mm.
So prolific. How many of those do you reckon are about footy?
About half.
The thing about football, that's one of the most famous ones, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
I just got lucky there because the Channel 7 at the time decided that they could use that for a theme for introducing the TV broadcasts. And that went on for 2 or 3 years.
All right.
Community radio gave birth to the Kootabeens. And we were eventually asked to join the ABC after 6 years. And, you know, we learned recently that after our first broadcast on the ABC, that the gentleman who took the chance on us got 300 complaints.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's a bit scandalous. What were they complaining about?
Well, it was a very loose community radio sort of vibe. And pop that on the ABC on Saturday morning, and shall we say the certain fuddy-duddy element there... weren't at all impressed.
Oh, well, that's kind of also a positive, though, right, that you got so much of a response.
Well, that's what he said. Now, it was Clark Hansen who put us on. Well, we interviewed Clark on the Kootabeens a couple of years ago, after 38-odd years, and he told us about the 300 complaints. And he also said that 300 complaints was at least a reaction, like you say. And he didn't succumb. He didn't weaken. Eventually, it's run for 40 years.
Oh, that's fabulous. And you can be very creative on radio and you don't rely on a whole cast and crew of thousands.
And you can make a lot of it up. You can wing it a lot.
You can wing it.
With a team of five,
yeah.
You just look at each other. We had an unwritten rule that you never discuss or prepare or plan or script what you're going to talk about.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. I mean, over 3 hours, you might have loose structured segments to sort of give it some structure. But as far as the beginning of the program goes on both programs, that's the Saturday morning, which is still going and is now streamed and podcast by our South Australian listeners in good numbers because we read a lot of mail from South Australian listeners. We're still live to air in Victoria. You get to connect with a lot of people.
What's a really commonly asked question from your fans?
Well, there's the talkback segment. We take listeners' calls. We get asked if those callers are real or not.
Are they?
Let's just say we've never given out a phone number.
Okay.
But more than that, I can't share.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. We do get the question, settle an argument for me and my wife, are those callers real or not? Or this one, why do you let the same idiots on week after week?
Yeah. Why do you listen then if you don't want to listen to idiots?
Well, but they sort of likeable idiots.
And tell us about your legendary character, Guru Bob.
Well, Guru Bob was one of the callers. Guru Bob was a Buddhist monk, and he would always have something wise and spiritual to say about football. His very first comment was, when two men go up for the mark, only one can find true happiness. And that was about the tone of his 30 years of wise utterances.
Can't help but notice you've had a beautiful guitar sat on your lap for the duration of this chat so far.
It is a beautiful one. There was a guitar maker in the Adelaide Hills in Blackwood, Blair he was, Brian DeGrucci. Mm. This is a DeGrucci, and DeGrucci's are sought after and played around the country by the best players. Now, I'm not one of the hot pickers who use them, but hot pickers do use them because it's a bluegrass-style guitar.
Cool.
And so I've got two DeGrucci's, and DeGrucci's are much sought after, and they're one of the best sounding things. I've been to 25 Tamworth festivals, and the musos I know there, the Becky Coles, for example, and all those hot pickers, like a DeGrucci. So I got one.
What would you like to play for us today?
Well, I'll go on a light ditty to start with, all right? It's called I Still Call South Australia Home.
Aww. Right?
Because just a disclaimer before I start, there have been no gigs for a couple of years due to lockdowns and viruses. All we musos are right out of the routine of your gig, you know. So you're rusty is everything. But I think that, and I hope I remember all the words.
Do your best.
This one involves getting into a John Williamson sort of attitude. And I find myself just falling into his accent a little bit there. So he goes, I've seen the harbour lights of Tinseltown. I've seen the Yarra. It's nice, but it's brown. I have wandered from Woodenbong to Bendigo. But I still call South Australia home. I'm always travelling. I love being free. From Noosa to surfers to Mullumbimby. But no matter how interesting Australia can be, I still call South Australia home. All the lovely wineries, the passion for footy, their disdain for Victorians. You can take the one tram from town to Glenelgan. You can ride it back to town again. One day I'll shop again in Rundle Mall. I'll go see the Crows play some brilliant football. I'll admire Tea Tree Plaza and how much it's grown. No, I won't really do that. And I still call South Australia home.
Beautiful. Live on radio.
Oh,
Greg Champion.
That
was great. Did you write that one while you were in Victoria?
Yeah, well, everything. Well, I've been there for 42 years, so yes. But I think I might have first played it at Tail and Bend Country Music Festival.
Oh,
though.
Cool.
Yeah.
Oh, it's such a nice area up through the Murray Lands. It must be cool to, well, I suppose at the moment you can't really do much touring, but to be able to explore and travel with your music.
Well, Tail and Bend Country Music Festival was a lovely thing. I went to two of them, if I recall correctly, unless there were more. And they were very enjoyable. And they were run at the time by Noel Kneebone, son of Norwood player Ron Tank Kneebone. And Noel was a teacher at Tail and Bend. And these opportunities to travel regional South Australia or regional Australia, but particularly the little places I've been in South Australia, have been a privilege and a joy.
Yeah.
Broken Hill is a lovely place to go to, but they all are. I played in Andamooka a couple of years ago.
Where's that?
Well, it's north of Port Augusta.
I should know that, shouldn't I?
Well, it's kind of, it's up there in the wild Nulla Nulla. It's like, you know, I don't know how many hundred K it is from Port Augusta because you fly into it. It's near the mining community up there, but it's an open mining town.
People in regional areas must, particularly the further out you go, and you know, rurally, must really love having a bit of entertainment, a bit of live music.
The smaller the place, often the lovelier the experience. You've been to towns with a population of three.
Really?
Well, yes, they might have four. I remember playing at a place, Lalbert, near Swan Hill, population 98, but 400 turned up.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
But no, places with tiny populations, but they've got a hall and they come from far, miles around. Well, they are some of the most rewarding and pleasing gigs. And the further you go, I remember Catherine, first time I played in Catherine, it was you flew to Darwin and then you drive 200 or 300 k. And it's the further out you go, the better it gets, you know. Yeah. And that's the way it is with travel. It's nice to be somewhere very remote.
And it must be really transformative, or, you know, transport you to another place when you play. I love listening to music. I'm no musician myself, but I do say I am a little envious of the look on musicians' faces when they're in the midst of a tune.
Oh, that's an interesting observation. I watch some my favourite musicians sing, and certain ones, it is an experience, to an education, to look, watch their face and see what zone they go to. A good example is George Jones. Now, George Jones is, some say, the best voice ever to grace American country music. And George Jones, when he sings, gets this faraway look in his eye that I think he's trying to get out of his own way. He's got such a powerful weapon that he's trying to pop it in neutral and not think about it.
Yeah.
It's inspiring, the looks you can see on their faces.
Mm. And what about inside, when mentally, when you are performing?
I think there is a lot of zone out, blank out. Don't think.
Yeah.
It's like they say in football, in the heat of the action, don't think. You just rely on the instinct.
Yeah.
I remember, this is a case of singing it on the ground at the grand final, MCG grand final. I've had three shots at it. If you're ever going to get nervous, that's a good play. That's the one where you would. But I remember thinking, block everything out. Don't think about anything. Just get through this. Just, if you stop to think, you might pack it.
True.
So zoning out, there is a bit of a trick to it.
Yeah. Would you like to play another song?
Yeah. This time I just go the other way and go very, very serious.
Okay.
Well, I don't want to use the word serious. Talk about sensible songs and non-sensible songs. This one comes in the former, earlier, first category. I hope I remember the words.
Good luck.
Oh, yeah, I do need to say, I co-wrote this. The idea was given to me by Penny Burke, who was living at Pinneroo. She's now in Ballarat. She sings around this region.
All right, take it away.
Seasons turn and willows rivers ramble, shadows creep. She told me to say this prayer. Put your hand on your heart and feel me there. Late at night, when all lonely lovers weep, if it gets too much to bear, put your hand on your heart and feel me there. She said, do this anywhere, put your hand on. Put your hand on your heart and feel me there.
Ah, beautiful. Greg Champion from the Kudabeen Champions. What's next for your music? What can our fans, your fans, expect?
When I was starting out in Adelaide, it started in the coffee lounges. First of all, it was Uni Folk Club. And then as soon as I went to Adelaide Uni, I joined the folk club. And then we got gigs at the Catacombs, which was a institutional, long-running folk club in Hackney in the early 70s. And then, I'm saying this to answer your question in a long, roundabout way.
Yeah.
Then it drifted into bands. The Eagles came along and we just started doing sort of Eagles type songs, as people did. They were very, you know, they're a powerful influence,
of course.
Anyone folky sort of drifted over to the Eagles sort of, and I started playing in pubs and with an electric guitar. Well, this went on for a few years, and then we all went to Melbourne to be smaller fish in a bigger pond, and I still have very, very fond memories of Adelaide pubs playing in an electric band. We had a pretty country, sort of folky, hippie bent. It wasn't, you know, it wasn't hard rock or anything on that side of it. I remember once sharing a gig with an early Cold Chisel.
Oh, really?
They were
doing
that.
Wow.
We're talking about hard rock, that was it. But we were more on the hippie countryside. Anyway, I still like it. So I'm already working out with friends in the shed, and we've already had three rehearsals, and I've only been here less than 6 weeks. And we've got one booking at the King's Head in November, and we're going to, the Manham Hotel. I was talking to Mr. Hurley, the owner of it, last night, and we're hoping to do a gig in the Manham Hotel.
Oh, great. Well, keep me posted. I'll let our listeners know.
Oh, yeah. So just for the sheer joy of going to Manham and looking at the river and the houseboats and the paddle steamers. That's why I said to him, I want to go to Manham. At this point in life, it's about the travel and the experience and the scenery. And so Manham is just a big pull. So I'm actually looking forward to playing electric in pub bands for no money.
Okay.
Because there's always been no money in it, and it hasn't changed.
There you go, and make it more accessible, I suppose.
It's about the fun.
Yeah.
The fun factor.
Oh, well, it's been an absolute delight to have you in studio today. Thanks for coming in, champs.
Nice to meet you. Thanks for having us.